Well, it is a great occasion that we have gathered in the new temple premises to remember Purushottam Bhai. I know him more through his grandson, Janesh Patel, who is now initiated as Giridhari Priya. He was initiated in the ISKCON San Diego temple, and the whole family came down for the occasion in front of the beautiful deities of Radha Giridhari, who he has served. And it was a great occasion of celebration. It in Vedic culture, as you know, initiation is considered a second birth. Everyone has a mother and father. But it is a great fortune when someone gets a spiritual master or guru. And in this case, the two lines of authority, or the two paramparas, have run parallel. Giridhari Priya lives nearby my ashram in Santa Barbara, and he serves his deities, he cooks for the devotees, he organizes festivals, and sometimes I would ask him, where did you learn this? And quite often he would reply, from his grandfather. Or when it came to cooking, from his grandmother. He's very good at etiquette. He's very good at etiquette. But on one occasion, might not be the best example, but on one occasion he didn't give dakshina. And, we're meant to give. But then a couple of days later, he showed up with the dakshina. He said, my grandfather was very angry that I didn't give dakshina. So this parampara is very important to maintain. And the culture in America, as you know, is very different from the traditional culture of India. And we don't want to lose that culture, because that culture makes our relationships very congenial and helps us to progress towards life's ultimate goal, which is to go back home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna. So the center here will be an educational institution to educate people in the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and more advanced Srimad Bhagavatam. We are in the midst of a very technologically oriented culture here. And I recall when Srila Prabhupada gave a talk at MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which is very exclusive, prestigious, like IIT, but more. And he raised the question that you have so many different departments of knowledge, but where is the department that will tell us what is the difference between a living body and a dead body? If you look at a dead body, all the organs are there, generally, unless there's some gruesome accident. But something has changed. The person is no longer there. We say the person is left. What has happened is the soul has left the body. That means that the real person is the soul, not the body, because all the bodily organs are there. So the real person is the soul. And that is the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita. And if we understand that we're not the body but the soul, then we must change our focus in life. Because everyone is interested in his or her own self-interest. That is natural. But if we don't know who our real self is, we won't know what our true self-interest is. So if we understand we are the soul, part and parcel of Krishna, the Supreme Soul, then we will act to revive our eternal relationship with Krishna. And that will make us happy. Otherwise, if we act on the basis of the body, doing everything for the body, even if we do everything perfectly for the body, we will get further away from the goal. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a mathematical calculation. If you make a mistake in the first step, even if you perform all the other steps perfectly, you may get further and further away from the solution. So there is a whole generation of people who have done exactly what they were told would make them happy. They got a good education, they got a good job, or developed a successful business. They got a qualified wife. They had beautiful, bright children. They went on fabulous holidays. They did everything they were told would make them happy. But guess what? They weren't happy. So there's a whole new field of study on happiness, because the things that people were told would make them happy and the things that they did, which they were told to do to become happy, didn't make them happy. Because minus Krishna. Everything else, you know, good looks, good education, good income, good family, they're all like zeros. They don't really have value. They don't have the ability to satisfy the soul. But if you put a one in front of all those zeros, you get a million. And that one is Krishna. So this institution here is meant to give people who have all these beautiful zeros a one, the one that will make all the zeros valuable. And Purushottam Bhai himself was an example of a God-conscious person. He had his family, he had his work, he did everything, but he was God-conscious. And so, he was happy. He was happy. And when one is God-conscious, death is not a terrible thing. Because someone who is God-conscious knows he's not the body, that the body will continue to live. That the soul will continue to live. And what will the soul do if one is engaged in serving Krishna in this life? Then in the next life, the soul will continue to serve Krishna. So there's not really much of a difference. Of course, we who are left behind feel sorry because we will miss that devotee, that loved one. But from the point of view of the devotee, he has nothing to fear. And again, Srila Prabhupada told an instructive story, very short story, which will conclude my few words. But there was once a sadhu who was giving different people different types of blessings. Very often people will approach a sadhu for blessings. So a prince, Rajaputra, a prince approached the sadhu and asked for a blessing. And the sadhu blessed him that you should not die. You should not die because in your present life you are enjoying material opulence and sense gratification, engaging in so many sinful activities. And as soon as you die, you'll have to suffer the reactions to all the sinful activities. So you should not die. Then he blessed Muniputra. Muniputra, you could say a strict brahmachari. He blessed him that you should die immediately because you are performing so much tapasya. In your next life, you will get the reward. So instead of continuing in this world and doing more tapasya, you should die immediately, and in your next life you will reap the reward. Then he blessed a butcher. I shudder to speak that horrible word in this sacred place. But he blessed him that you should not live and you should not die. You should not live because your present life is horrible. You are killing animals, and it's such a ghastly affair. So you should not live, but you should not die either, because in your next life, you will have to suffer the reactions for the sin of killing so many animals. And that sin, I'm sure you know, that sin the reaction is distributed among everyone involved in that process of killing. The person who raises the animal for slaughter, the person who kills the animal, the person who sells the meat, the person who cooks the meat, the person who eats the meat. They're all considered liable. It's just like in any conspiracy, say there's a bank robbery. So someone will be driving the car, someone will come into the bank with guns, someone will actually enter the safe. I mean, this is, I don't know how they do it now. It's from the old gangster movies of the 20s, but someone will go into the safe and take out the money. So technically you could say, well, the driver, the person who was holding the gun, the mastermind behind it who planned the whole strategy, they didn't really steal the money. It was only one person who went into the safe and grabbed the money. But no, they're all implicated because they were all part of the conspiracy. So when it comes to killing animals and eating the flesh, everyone who's part of the conspiracy is responsible, and everyone is punishable. So that means the person who raises the animal for slaughter, the person who slaughters the animal, everyone, the person who transports the meat, the person who sells it, the person who cooks it, the person who serves it, and the person who eats it. They're all liable. So the sadhu blessed the butcher that you should not live and you should not die. And then to a devotee, he gave the blessing, you may live or you may die. It does not make any difference. Because in your present life, you are serving Krishna, you are happy in Krishna consciousness, and in your next life, you will serve Krishna and be happy in Krishna consciousness. So you may live or you may die. And that should be our goal, to live our life in such a way that we have no fear of death, because we know that we have not engaged in sinful activities, that Yamaraj will not be waiting for us with the account. Many of our friends are businessmen, and so they keep account, they keep very careful account of profit and loss. So Yamaraj, he also has his scribe who keeps account of all of our pious activities and sinful activities. And at the time of death, we're held accountable. But if we take the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, which will be taught here, we can live our lives in such a way that we have a clean heart. We have a clean account. And so we will be happy serving Krishna in this life, and we'll be happy serving Krishna in the next life. But when we marry and have children, we also have a responsibility to our spouse and our children. To educate them spiritually. The Bhagavad says that no one should become a father, no one should become a mother, no one should become a husband, no one should become a teacher, unless he can deliver his dependence from the repetition of birth and death. And we can discharge that responsibility, like Purushottam Bhai and Dilip Bhai are doing, and their good wives, by bringing up their children in Krishna consciousness. So this will be a center for everyone, including the children, to be brought up in the culture of Krishna consciousness, which will really satisfy people in the present life and make the next life very auspicious. So it's a great honor and privilege for me to be here on this occasion amongst all you pious souls. I remember the first time we went with Srila Prabhupada, we were just starting to travel in India, and we went to Surat. And I have never seen such pious people. The whole city stopped for Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. When there was Harinam Sankirtan, people would line the streets. And if they couldn't somehow come on the street, they would be looking from their balconies. And every so often we would have to stop, and they would offer arti and put malas and give us nimbu pani and lassi. And one day the mayor declared a public holiday, and he himself participated in the Harinam Sankirtan. So this is real culture and real civilization. And yes, that this should be kept alive. Hare Krishna.